think we ought to let Dale pray for rain more often. It's raining.
Wonderful.
Good. Tonight we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about how people worry and spend so much time being concerned about the things of this life. And he isn't telling us don't work hard and don't do your best and don't try to earn a living. He's simply saying don't be overly concerned, because God is going to be with you if you follow him. And then down in chapter 6 and verse 31, he says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So Jesus is trying to get across to us here that we should not be overly concerned about the things of this life. Again, we have to work and we have to serve and we have to do our best, but understand that God, by faith in God, he's going to make sure that we have the things that we need in life. Now we want to look at a man tonight that is kind of part of this idea and chose the wrong way. His name is Demas. Now, Demas is a man that's not particularly well known in the Bible. He's only mentioned three times. And his story kind of reflects what Jesus was talking about and what he was actually condemning. In Colossians 4:14 and Philemon 24 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, those are the three references to this man named Demas. And now if you go over to Philemon verses 23 and 24, it says, Paul is writing, says, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, salute you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." So he's mentioned there with some of the great men of Paul's entourage of places that he went and fellow workers. Colossians 4, verse 14, Paul says there, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas salute you." So you can't get much better than to be mentioned along with Luke in the writing of the Apostle Paul. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Give diligence to come to me shortly, for Demas has forsaken me, and having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica." So we look at that, and it seems that over a period of a few years, Demas was faithful seemingly at first, and then he began to allow the things of the world around him to take him away from the Lord's work. So Paul's letter to Philemon shows Demas as a fellow worker with some of the best that there were. Now, we go back to that for a moment, and it showed Paul's trust and his confidence in his associates, those who were helping him, those who were traveling with him and teaching, and he was sending out to other places to teach and to preach. One was Epaphras. And Colossians 1 verse 7 says, "Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Epaphras was, if you study Colossians, you'll find he was one of Paul's messengers that he sent from Rome to Colossae and other places, and he would go there and deliver Paul's message, and he'd bring messages back to Paul while he was in prison. And then he says Luke. Luke, of course, we'll talk about him more in a moment, but he was a great and faithful man. Another ones that he mentions here in Philemon is Mark. Mark was also known as John Mark when we're first introduced to him in the book of Acts. He was probably brought to Christ by the Apostle Peter, because he's first mentioned in Acts chapter 12. Later, he traveled with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. And But he turned back and went back from Pamphylia back to Jerusalem again. Well, later, evidently, he overcame his fear or whatever it was, and he went with Barnabas and preached on the island of Cyprus. And Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways. But later, as we read, for example, 1 Peter 5 and verse 13, Peter says he calls Mark my son in there. So Mark had a relationship with Paul and Peter and the others also. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul says of this same John Mark that had abandoned him the first time, he says, he is profitable for me for the ministry. And so Demas was given an equal footing with these others, Epaphras and Luke and Mark. Another one he's mentioned here is Aristarchus. Aristarchus was a traveler with Paul on his third missionary journey. And in Colossians 4 and verse 10, he says, he is my fellow prisoner. So to the point where he even would go to prison with the Apostle Paul. And so we can see that at one time in his life, Demas was very highly regarded by the Apostle Paul. There's not many people in the world. If I were choosing that I would want somebody to say something good about me, there wouldn't be too many people in the world that I would prize above being spoken positively by the Apostle Paul. Well, he was on several occasions. And another reference to Demas is in Colossians 4 and verse 14. Now, this passage, he has given equal footing with Luke. Colossians 4:14, he says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas salute you. Well, Luke was called the beloved physician. He was a physician, and we can, from reading the things he wrote in Luke and Acts, you kind of get the idea. Sometimes he presented an idea or message in his writing from the point of view of a physician, as he would look at things. And then, of course, he is a traveling companion with Paul on at least three occasions. And he was the writer of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. He was a faithful worker with the Apostle Paul. So we look at that and we think, well, how could someone that is surrounded by that kind of people all of the time, how could he possibly go astray? But in Paul's last letter, 2 Timothy, now I know in the order we have them, Titus appears after 2 Timothy, but actually 2 Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote according to time. And so it was the last reference to him, but what did he say about Demas? He says, Demas forsook me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. So, in other words, he forsook the work of God. He forsook the work that he was doing with the Apostle Paul. And the reason being that the ways and things of this world became the most important thing to him. And that overcame his service for the Lord. He was a fellow worker with Paul and Luke and Mark and these others. And yet, Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, where Jesus told the parable of the sower. His life was like the one where the seed went into the ground and it began to grow, but there was no root there, and so it didn't continue and it died out. Well, that's the way he was. The fruit that he bore for a while was not going to last because his love for this present world was greater. But we look at that and we think, well, but what would that have to do with you and me? Well, we see in the story, the account of Demas, one of the great threats of our time and where we live and the way that we sometimes look at the world around us. That sometimes we do tend to put so much emphasis on the things of the world that we tend to forget the spiritual things, and maybe we turn away some from the faith and the service of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 16. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So every day we live in Christ, we are being renewed. Every day that spiritual life, more spiritual life is given to us. And that goes along with 1 John 1:7 says, which says, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's an ongoing process, a continuing process every day. But He says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, He says, for our light affliction, which is for the moment, is working for us a far and more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, yes, we're enduring persecution sometimes, or having difficulties and trouble in life, but there's a great thing waiting for us, far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Demas made a choice in his own life. He placed his faith and his trust in the things that he could see, the physical things, the pleasures of life, the fame, fortune, whatever it might have been. And he didn't place his faith in the Lord. And Paul says the things that we see, those things are simply temporary. They're here for a while, and then they're gone. And we die and we leave all that behind. But the spiritual things, those things are eternal. And so, as Christians, sometimes we need to understand the importance. Yes, there are certain importance of the things of life, food and clothing and shelter and the other things that we need. And God never told us not to work towards those things and do the best that we can with them. But He wanted us to understand that's not the most important thing in life. And for many in the world, that has become the most important thing in life. Demas wanted wealth and pleasure more than the things of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, he has departed to Thessalonica. Well, if you study a little bit on Thessalonica, it was a very wealthy place. Most of the people there were that way. And not only was it wealthy, it was powerful, and it was a very immoral place too. And so Demas went there rather than holding on to the faith of the Lord. Now, a contrast as Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. We're talking about Moses, and in Hebrews chapter 11 says, when Moses came of age or understood, it says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had the choice. He was the adopted son of Pharaoh himself. He had all the glories and wealth and everything of Egypt right there before him. He might have been Pharaoh himself at some time. And yet, he was willing to give that up because of the cause of God. And so, there's the contrast to what Demas became. Sometimes, maybe we think that all life consists in what we have, and maybe we get confused about that. Well, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, there's a man that came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, there's an inheritance that's coming to me and my brother, and tell my brother to share it equally with me. Well, Jesus said, I'm not the judge over your family. He said in Luke 12, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And that's where Jesus told the parable of the rich fool. What did the rich fool do? Well, he worked very hard. He had a very good harvest, and he brought everything in, and he didn't have enough room to place all of his grain and harvest and everything. And so he said, I'll just tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and I'll have everything I need. But he also said, I'll say to my soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, what did God say to him? He said, you foolish one, this night your soul is required of you, and who shall these things be? And that's an important question for us. When maybe we get off a little bit and begin to think of how much we have and how much we need and all of those things, that we need to look back and think about what's truly important in life. Yes, again, we have to work hard and do the best that we can, earn a living, and God encourages us and tells us to do that. But he says, don't put too much effort and understanding and all of the other things into those things, because the end result is not going to work well. In fact, you'll turn away from me. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, we have the letter of Jesus. It really was the letter of Jesus. John did the writing as he was commanded, but the letter was from Jesus to the church at Laodicea. He said to them in chapter 3 and verse 14 of Revelation, he says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Why would he say that? Why would he say that to them? That you're neither cold or hot. He says in verse 17, "Because you say, I am rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. And do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked?" But consider how God looks at things versus how we look at things. They said, "We're rich, we have everything we need, we don't need anything." God says, "No, you're not." Or Jesus said, "You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Totally different from the way that they looked at things. Because they looked at things on the physical level. Physically, they had a lot. They were wealthy, they were powerful, had everything they needed. Jesus says, that's not the way you are. Notice what he says to them, verse 18. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich." In other words, true riches. Not the physical they were looking at, but spiritual. "In white garments you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." So their total view of the world was skewed by the idea that because they were rich and they were wealthy and they had everything they needed, that somehow that was God's blessing, so they must be right with God. God in Christ says, no, that's not the way it is. In reality, you're wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. So we have to be very careful lest the things of this world allure us to the point where we're taken away from God. It's an interesting thing about the city of Laodicea, as well as the church there. The city of Laodicea was one of the richest cities in all of the Roman Empire at the time. It was a resort city. It was a favorite vacation spot, if you want to use that term, for members of the Roman Senate, and sometimes even one of the emperors would go there. In fact, when the city of Laodicea was destroyed in an earthquake, the emperor wanted to send them money to rebuild their city. They told him, "No, we don't need your money. We'll build it ourselves." So the church in that situation, we can maybe kind of understand how they got the view that they did. But they said, "We're rich and have riches and have need of nothing." Jesus said, "You're miserable, poor, blind, and naked." We look at ourselves, and hopefully we'll never get to that point. But even if we do, Christ says, "Be zealous and repent. If you'll come back to me, I will forgive you." Now, another problem which Demas showed was a lack of true dedication to God's work. Without devotion and that continuing desire to serve, we cannot accomplish what the Lord wants us to do. And He wants us to be successful. He wants us to do right and be faithful, because it is an eternal purpose that we have. To reach the lost, first of all. In Mark 16, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Now, we can't all go to all parts of the world, but we can go where we are, to our people that we know and to our families, and we can lead and teach them the way. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, that ought to be our desire also, If Jesus came for that, and we're among those who are the lost, need to be saved, then his command to go and teach and preach and serve should be our part of our main responsibility and duty and privilege in life. And Demas had that. He was one of the fellow workers of the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men that ever lived, and yet he gave that up. In Psalms 119 and verse 2, David said, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and they that seek him with whole heart." Well, Demas didn't do that. He might have been zealous for a while and had a true desire, but when the time came, he turned his back upon the Lord and upon the Lord's work. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul says that we are a people for his own possession. The King James Version translates that a peculiar people. Now, peculiar then, the way it's translated, doesn't mean like it does now that somebody's really strange and way out from somewhere. It means there is a special calling, a special ability that we are given, not because of our righteousness, but because of his. And he says we are then a people of his own possession, zealous of good works. Well, Demas was zealous at one time, no doubt, in his life. He was a fellow traveler and worker with Paul and these others, and yet somehow he gave it up. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul says, "Be an example to the believers in word, in manner of life, in love and faith and purity." Well, that's what he wants us to do. 1 Timothy 16, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life." Now, Demas did that for some part of the time, but finally he lapsed back into the world. Maybe, you know, we might speculate he probably came to a point where maybe he wasn't quite putting enough, as much effort into it as he originally did. Then he began to look at the world around him and see what it had to offer. In James 1, verse 8, James described that as a double-minded man that's unstable in all his ways. The word double-minded there is translated from a word which is literally two-souled. In other words, S-O-U-L-E-D. So someone with two souls. One soul that wants to do right, one that wants to do wrong. And that was the way Demas seemed to have been. Yes, he was faithful for a while, but ultimately he went away from the Lord. And as Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, Jesus' words, he says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Demas tried it. It didn't work. And ultimately he went away from the Lord. Well, we look at ourselves today, and as the church, as God's people, and as individual in our private lives, yes, we have a responsibility to work and to earn a living and to take care of ourselves and our families as best we can. But Demas turned his back upon those things. He let the cares of the world take over his life. And then finally, as Paul said, he has forsaken me and gone to Thessalonica. He probably was lost eternally because we have no record of him coming back and repenting. He may have. We certainly hope that he did. And yet, in the condition he was in that Paul described in 2 Timothy 4, he was going to be lost eternally. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So we need to look at ourselves sometimes and see what we see in the world around us. Are we placing too much emphasis on the physical rather than the spiritual? And it becomes something that we look at ourselves as, not look in the lives of other people, but ourselves. And no one can answer that for you and me. We have to answer it for ourselves. Tonight, if you have a need in your life, if you need to come, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.